personal seal on you. Yeah. His personal seal. So that's like a sort of a guarantee, isn't it?
Mm.
You and I have had a personal guarantee from the Lord that we've been marked in him, okay? That we have been placed in Jesus Christ. Well, that can't be bad, can it? No. He gave you his own promised Holy Spirit to live within you. So he's given the Holy Spirit to enable him to live the rest of his life in Christ. That's you and me. Okay? Yeah. So before conversion, before we were born again, we were outside of Christ. Unacceptable to God because of our sin, and under condemnation. But now we've been brought near. We've been brought in Christ. Okay? So, alive in Christ, the first bit, Ephesians 2:1. 11. Oh, it's me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I like the colour. I didn't do it like that. Urs did that. She changed the colour. Sort of firework-y, isn't it? So, alive in Christ. I like the titles here. This is taken from the Truth version. And I think I like the Truth version best, particularly here. So, that's why I'm using it. What you are now is in direct contrast to what you used to be. I like that phrase, direct contrast to what you used to be. Well, how was that then? How are we in direct contrast to what we used to be? Once you were spiritually dead because your lives were full of sin and disobedience to God's word. You see, this is Paul talking to the Ephesian church about how they used to be once, what they were once like, okay? And now they are in direct contrast to what they used to be. And we can say the same for ourselves. I mean, it has to be appropriated by faith. But you and me, we are in direct contrast to what we used to be.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we are in Christ, because we belong to Jesus Christ. We belong to God. Mm. So, if we are in direct contrast to what we used to be, does that show in our daily lives? Yeah. It should be noticeable. Okay? It should be noticeable. What makes the difference? Believing it, that's what makes the difference. Mm. Direct contrast. And it's interesting this morning that I read about Noah in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, where Paul talks, or whoever the writer of Hebrews is, they talk about these great people of faith. And Noah, about Abraham and Moses and so on. And Noah was one of them. And it said that by faith, Noah built an ark. Okay, and he lived by faith, which was in direct contrast to the society at the time. Mm. Okay, must have been difficult. Well, not easy. You know, and it's. I know there's an aspect in which it's not easy to live in direct contrast to the world in which we live. So the world is full of sin and disobedience to God's word. I think we can see that, can't we?
Mm.
That is how you used to live, and it's how I used to live, when you lived according to the world's standards. Okay, the world's standards. What are the world's standards? Well, they're not God's standards. The world's standard is I, me, and mine. What I want. What I want to do. It's all about me. There are some very kind people in the world who do think about others. Okay? But it's having Christ that makes the difference. It's believing in him that makes the difference. This is how you used to live. In fact, in another version, it says, when you lived according to the world's standards, in this version. In another version, I think it's the Revised Authorized Version, or the new Authorized Version, it says, you lived according to the course of this world. Excuse me, I'm going to have to tell you. Lived according to the course of this world. And what's a course? A course is leading you somewhere, isn't it? You know, you go on a course and you get a degree or something at the end of it, or you get a qualification. A river follows a course, so it's going somewhere. And the course of this world is going somewhere. Where's it going? Sometimes the river can lead to nice calm waters. Other times it leads to a waterfall, to destruction. So We don't want to follow the course of this world, and we're not, because we have been, what we are now is in direct contrast to what we were. Okay, continuing that, the world standards, because you were subject to God's enemy. We were subject to God's enemy. So if we don't know Christ, then we are subject to God's enemy. Who is God's enemy? The devil, yeah? The father of lies. That's very interesting. The devil was described as the father of lies. And if he's the father of lies, and if you are subject to the father of lies, then you are subject to deception. Deception. And deception, if you are deceived, you think that you're going the right way when you're not. Okay? So, God wants to reveal himself, and he's revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And he wants people to come out of deception. And when you know the truth, who is Christ, then the truth will set you free. And you will be free of deception in your life. So we don't want to be subject to God's enemy. You were subject to God's enemy, and you belong to his negative kingdom. That's interesting that the devil has a kingdom, as it's referred to here. God has a kingdom, the devil's kingdom. He thinks he's king, but he's just, it says the prince and the power of the air in another, I think it says in Ephesians later on. In fact, Ephesians 6, I think it says, where is it? Ephesians 6:12, that's right. Ephesians 6:12. I think it was somewhere else. Well, never mind. Anyway, in Ephesians, a little later on, it talks about how putting on the whole armour of God. Okay, and how, you know, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against the devil, the prince of the air. You know? So that's the kingdom, isn't it? That's the negative kingdom of darkness. Sounds awful. Negative kingdom of darkness. So, just to continue, because you were subject to God's enemy, belong to his negative kingdom of darkness. I should be on the next verse, shouldn't I? Because you were subject to God's enemy, belong to his negative kingdom of darkness, and were controlled by the spirit who still works in the disobedient. Were controlled. I was controlled before I knew Christ. People who don't know the Lord are controlled by the spirit who still works in the disobedient. There is a spirit working in the world today outside of Christ. And the people who are under that spirit are controlled by that spirit. I think we can see that sometimes. By the Spirit who still works in the disobedient. Okay, going on to verse 3. All of us at one time shared in that ungodly lifestyle, longing to satisfy our flesh. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Longing to satisfy our flesh. What does that mean? Well, you've got the Spirit and you've got the flesh. And we've all got those desires, those human desires, okay? We want to satisfy those human desires. In some version it talks about the lusts of the flesh. It goes on here to say, we all sought, in other words, we all sought after, we all went after this, to gratify our fleshly desires. And sin filled much of our thinking. It's a bit like an animal instinct, that, isn't it? You know, whatever you feel like, get on and do it, you know. We've all got consciences, even if we're not saved, you know. But, you know, you can see that more and more these days. Selfishness of people, where they want to gratify their desires. Because sin fills much of their thinking. Just like everybody else, we were subjects of God's anger because of our sinful disposition. So before we knew Christ, we were subject to his wrath, as some versions put it, W-R-A-T-H, or his anger. And I wouldn't like to be under God's anger. Because of our sinful disposition, you see, God can't stand sin, and he can't His anger is against sin. So we have to be saved from that. Verse 4 and 5. Despite all this, because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, this is the nice bit, isn't it? Actually brought us to life with Christ. You might say to yourself, well, how was I brought to life with Christ? The moment you allowed Jesus Christ into your life, when you heard him knocking at the door of your heart, and you let him in, and you believed that you were saved, and that the moment that you repented from your old life, genuinely repented from that old life, and turned to God, that is when you were brought to life with Christ. Now that's important. You were brought to life with Christ, because your life is dependent on him.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on yourself. Thank God. My life is not dependent on myself, this new life. I was brought to life with Christ. Amen. I was brought to life with Christ. Do you know what? Jesus said to his disciples before he went to heaven after his crucifixion, he said, I will not, I can't remember what stage he said this, but he said, I will not leave you alone. Now, when he said that, he doesn't mean a sense of, I'll keep bothering you, because sometimes you say, leaving somebody alone, you're bothering them, aren't you, if you're not leaving them alone. But he meant, I will not leave you on your own. And that is so important, to have Jesus with you at all times,
yes,
as you walk through life. So I was raised with him. From that point onwards, he has been with me and I have been with him walking. You see, you can't live without him. You can't live without that dependence on him. And the more I've gone on in the Christian life, the more and more I realise I have to be more and more dependent on him. Because my old life, what does Paul say? He said, I was crucified with Christ. But you say, how could that be? Well, it could be because God is God and that was his method, that was his way of doing it. I've been crucified with Christ. In other words, my old life was crucified with him. I was put to death with him. Okay? Even 2,000 years ago, yes. I was crucified with Christ. Now it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
That's good.
How can he say that? Well, he's so Christ conscious that he's not conscious of himself.
Okay.
Because that has been put to death. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The old life is gone. You might say, well, no, it's not, because it keeps popping up. But it will if you keep believing that. What are we believing, you see? It's a walk, isn't it, when we're learning that the old life is dead, crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And Paul, the apostle, was walking in that. And that's how God wants us to walk. To see that the old life is dead, crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in him. That's how he lived his life, by faith in Christ, who is with him all the time. So, just reading that again. Despite all this, because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, isn't that good to know? God, who is so rich in mercy, what is mercy? It is, and I've said this before, is God not giving us what we deserve. What did we deserve? We deserve condemnation, judgment. But God is so rich in mercy, he actually brought us to life with Christ instead. You know, we didn't know anything. But God sent his son Jesus. And now we do know, thank God. And now we live with Christ. 4 and 5, that was, wasn't it? Yeah. Because of our sins. That's right. So even when we were spiritually dead because of our sins, God sent Jesus, showing his mercy that way. What a wonderful work of his grace. So grace and mercy are like go hand in hand, you see. So mercy is God not giving you what you deserve, and grace is giving you what you don't deserve. The unmerited we don't deserve it, God's favour, the unmerited favour of God. What a wonderful work of his grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin. You know, when you're in the death and darkness of sin, you can't really see where you're going. And in the world, everybody's got their own ideas, their own philosophies, haven't they? They've got their own philosophies, their own ideas about how to find happiness, how to find health and well-being. There's so much talk about that today. And often it's just about me and I and how I can do it, what's good for me. And there's some good things in that. Okay. But if you don't know Christ, then you're still in that death and darkness of sin. And he is the only one that can show you the way out of it. So, what a wonderful work of his grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin. It's great to get out of death and darkness and into the light. Because when you get into the light, you can see where you're going. You know, if you go into a dark room, if you've ever been in a dark room, you don't know where the light switch is. And you know, you say, where is the light switch? I can't see where I'm going. You bump into things. And it's like that for people if they don't know Christ. So we have his guidance. He is... What does he say? I am the light of the world. You are a light unto my path and a lantern unto my feet. Something like that, isn't it? So out of the hands of the evil one, we once served. So you once served the evil one. You were once subject to him, but you're not anymore. Mm. Let's believe that. I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm talking to myself here. You know, I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me. Seated with Christ. Oh, that's nice. Seated. What are you doing when you're seated? You're not standing up. Sometimes people have said they see Christ standing in heaven. You know, that's in Revelation. But he's seated in Christ. That means rest. I'm so glad for that rest that you can find in Jesus Christ. He is your rest. There is so much unrest in the world. We can see it. We only have to look at what's been happening, you know, in London and over the last few weeks in the world, in the Middle East. So much unrest. Seated with Christ. Now he has actually raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him. How does God see you? Sometimes we think that God's got it in for us, even as Christians. You know, we think, oh God, you know, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Is that how God sees you? Well, he sees your old life, sinful self, as not good enough. But he's had a way of dealing with that through Christ. Mm. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It was crucified with Christ, my old life. Now he has actually raised us up with Christ and sees us seated with him. So we were crucified with Christ. What comes after that? Resurrection. We are raised with Christ. We live the new life of faith. It's not by trying hard. It's not by trying to please God. It's not by having a list of rules and regulations. Some people in the Christian life are like that. You know, they say, all right, we've been saved now. Great, I'm a Christian. Now I've got to try as hard as I can to please God. The only way you can please God is by faith, and the works come as well with that. You know, as this thing about dependence, what did Jesus say in the Gospel of John? You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. The life comes from him. Just receive it. But we have to realize that we can do nothing. But we have to believe that we, through him, we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. So, he seated us with him in heavenly places. I'm in heavenly places. You are in a heavenly place today, in heavenly places. That means he's given you his authority. Because he has placed us in Christ Jesus. The only reason you're in heavenly places is because of Jesus, who is with you, since you were raised with him. He's done this. Why has he done this? So that in the future we might demonstrate that the riches of his grace are so immense that nothing got missed off. Sorry, that nothing. Right. just read that. That nothing can be compared to such riches. Okay. Do you realise, you know, we all see riches, nice cars, you know, loads of money and all that kind of stuff. And we see rich people, but nothing can be compared. That all that can't be compared to the riches of His grace. Of His grace. There is richness in His unmerited favour. That's how I want to live, by His grace. Not by works. Because there's no richness in that. The works come as a result of His grace. So immense. These are big words, aren't they? They are rich words. His grace, the riches of His grace are so immense that nothing can be compared to such riches. And His grace has been shown to us. Well, I'll read this bit out to you. And His grace has been shown to us because of His kindness towards us, expressed in all Christ Jesus has done for us. Well, that's what we've been talking about, isn't it? Okay, you see, it is only because of His grace that you have been saved. All you did, this is all you did, was to put your faith in His willingness to be merciful and gracious towards you. That's all you did to get saved, to know Jesus Christ. And you know, all we've got to do now is to walk in Him. All we need to do is to put our faith in His willingness now, in our continual life, to be merciful and gracious towards us. That's all we need to do. As we believe that, the works will come. So your salvation is not anything you could possibly have worked out for yourselves. While we were yet helpless, Christ died for us. It is completely God's gift to you. You can never boast that you achieved acceptance by God through the works you have performed. I don't know if that's up there, is it? No, it's not. All right, that's verse 9 anyway. I'll read that out again. You can never boast that you achieved acceptance by God through the works you have performed. Some Christians do that, you know. They think that it makes them acceptable to God. It's a continuing thing that we rely upon the grace and believing, appropriating things by faith. And the word, I think there's a word there, where is it? Boast. Yes. Verse 9, he says, you can never boast. You see, Paul talks about this, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians. Verses 4 and 9, I think he says. He says, if anybody could justify putting confidence in these outward physical things, you know, that is what I've just talked about, works, you know, through the works you have performed, I would certainly be the first to qualify. Yes, as a Jew, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I belong to the people of Israel. I belong to the tribe of Benjamin, a true Hebrew of all the Hebrews. I kept the law like a good Pharisee, and was full of zeal in the way I persecuted the church. And I was perfect in my legalistic righteousness. And then he says, I used to think all these things were to my credit. And yet now I have Christ, I realise I gain nothing from them. So I now regard those things as worthless, rubbish, compared to the greatest privilege of all, of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. So he left everything behind and considered those things as rubbish, he says, so that I could have Christ and live in Him. Seeking righteousness of my own was useless and pointless. Okay. And I'll just finish off with this bit. It is all completely God's gift to you. Oh, that's it. Okay. Okay. That's it. So I think we'll finish there. Okay. And we'll continue that next time. But we're just going to do our remembrance bit now. I hope that's encouraged you. We need to encourage each other. Yeah? We should be a joyful people. Because in the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Great. Wonderful. I'll just see if I can plug into it going on. do it as well.
I'm not sure if that clock's right.
What time is it?
10:59.
Minutes, John.
What is it?
It's 10:59.
Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just gonna see the last one. thank you, Lord, that you are with us at all times. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us, that we were raised with Christ. And now we are seated with him. And that he said he would never leave us alone on our own. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I pray that each one of us will go away today aware of that presence.
Yes.
That we are seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Lord, and that we will walk in your presence, conscious of you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Seat. So this week there's no deeper on Wednesday because Martin's away and June's moving house and other people are away. So, but deeper will be again a week on Wednesday. But just as a one-off, we're going to go to Isaac's house on that Wednesday.
Cool.
And I might get organised and do some tell you about some food to bring. So he loves bread and cheese, so maybe take a lot of bread and cheese. but we'll go to Isaac's. So that's a week on Wednesday. So a week off this week. Little Bundles is back this week and rolls for 5 weeks now until the 15th of December. So pray for us that we keep strong and healthy. We're a skeleton staff. We do an amazing thing. But we need each other, don't we, on Fridays. So that's going to be great. And all building, really, to two things, I would say. We've got a showing of our nativity, which is called Hark, on the screen, which is on December the 21st, I believe. It might be the 22nd, actually, and it's a Friday. They've broken up, and it's just after they've broken up, to which they'll all be invited. And then our carol service this year, because of the way days have fallen, will be on Christmas Eve, because that's a great day to do carol service, I believe, because what a build-up for the next day. So it's in the morning. It won't be in the evening, so but we'll probably get a few candles in and things. So those are the two Christmas diary events, I would say, to pop in your diary. So Lord, we thank you for today, that you are good.
Amen.
And we are not deceived, Lord, because we know you, and we are full of your mercy and your grace, Lord, because of you. And we thank you for today, Lord, and may we carry you into our worlds this week, Lord, the people we meet, light going out into the darkness, dispelling the darkness. Amen.
Turn the heat's gone off, hasn't it?
It's cold.
Was it on this morning?
Probably
I think
was.
It was on this morning, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Bill? I should have shut the kitchen door because I think it comes through.